Welcome to It's Not About Money, hosted by my parents, Matt and Charlie McKinley, and produced by the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network. This podcast is all about helping parents raise responsible and ready adults through insightful parenting advice that goes beyond financial matters. Join them as they explore practical strategies, share valuable insights, and provide meaningful tools to navigate the challenges of parenting in today's world. Whether you're looking to instill essential life skills, cultivate emotional intelligence, or nurture a sense of purpose in your children, Matt and Charla are here to support you every step of the way. And now for today's episode.
Hey friends, welcome back to the It's Not About Money podcast, the podcast for intentional parents.
The money podcast for intentional parents.
I never get it right. We should write that. You should write that down. Put it right here and blazon it in the global world headquarters of the
I'll
podcast.
Yes, I'll get one of those neon signs made.
Yes, neon signs. That'd be great.
I don't think they do neon anymore. I think it's all LED.
They have neon. Trust me, you can get neon. It's
okay,
very expensive.
Okay.
Anyway, this is Matt.
I don't know that we want to spend the money on that.
We probably shouldn't. My lovely wife, Charla, and today sleeping in the podcast is our dog Rudy.
He that is correct.
Down. So if you're snoring, it's not me. It is the dog.
It's so sweet though. His little dog snores. Come
he's
on.
Super sweet. You guys may hear it. Listen really closely.
No.
But I will say before you jump into this, I can already tell we're going here with the list because I can see it right here. There's
yes.
a list.
Well, it's not exactly a list.
No, that's a list, Charlotte. Well, I can look
like,
at it.
It's like
eight or nine things there. It's clearly a list.
No, it's like questions.
Questions. Is it questions in list form?
Okay. So, what I call this list, though, is I call it table talk. And these are, it was inspired, I don't know if you guys have ever seen them, but several years ago, there was this stuff, these little cards that you could ask at the dining room table where you have, you know, you ask a question, you know, like, if you could
have a superpower.
And what would it be, right? And then everybody goes around and they ask about their superpower.
Well,
and we love those.
And I can tell how old these are.
Uh-huh.
Because they're like yellowed and they're well loved. They're kind of frayed and bent. So like these, this is not a new purchase.
Well, what I did is I thought it might be fun to do these things and then write down the answers on the cards. So I did that. Unfortunately, we had to stop. We had to stop doing these cards when the stories or when the answers got a little too snarky.
I don't know, Charles. I don't think that we're that snarky. What do you mean by how snarky is too snarky?
Look, let me just pull this one, okay? What skill would you like to have someday? Which is a great question to ask around the table. Kate answers, my darling daughter answers, I am too awesome and can't risk getting another skill.
And that crosses the snarky line for you. It's too snarky.
Well, she was 12. And,
okay, that's probably,
you know,
thanks highly of herself.
Well, it's just, you know, I was excited about the question because I really wanted to hear what a 12-year-old might think she's lacking in or what she's would like to learn. So that was her question.
Well, she is great. And for those of you who haven't met Kate, she's going to be on a podcast very soon. Like maybe even next week's podcast, we're going to try to bring her in.
Rope her in.
You guys can hear Kate talk.
Oh, here's another one. How are you different from everyone else? And Jack, our son.
I don't even think you can say this in general. This is maybe too bad. This is maybe, for those of you who know Jack, great kid, terrible answer.
Well, he was, you know, in middle school, maybe early high school. He writes, or he doesn't write, I wrote it down. He said, and I wrote it, I am better than them.
Mic drop. That was probably the last time we did this little game.
I put the table talk questions up, but it isn't because they're not good. It's just because our family is a bit too immature for these questions. But I was inspired to write some of my own.
All right, let me take a look here.
All right.
I'm going to look at your list. It's not a list.
It's a set of questions.
It's a set of questions in list form, but it's definitely not a list. Here's one of the items. What features do you want to have in your car? Tell them about or show them your first car.
That's right. Well, you know, I really like these questions are all designed to fast forward your kid mentally into the future. Because I heard one time I was at a talk and it was a lightning bolt moment for me that I should have documented better than I did. But basically the guy said, we as adults don't save for the future because it's like saving for a stranger. we don't know our future selves. We don't relate to our future selves. And so saving for a stranger is just not very appealing. And I really thought that was good because I really wanted, I took that concept and applied it. And I just thought about it in terms of my kids. Because they don't know that the future is real for them, then how can we expect them to really make wise decisions that will benefit future them and maybe even cause current them to have to sacrifice, which is all about money, right? Like, it's like, what do I need to not buy today so I can buy something in the future? So these questions are designed to put them into the future and asking them about, you know, hey, future you is really going to have a car. And what kind of features do you want? And that way, you know, don't, at this point,
there's no judgment zone.
No judgment.
So no judgment.
Whatever goober things they say, whatever, you know, like, there's a car called a Bugatti or something.
Yeah, Bugatti Veyron.
Yeah. If they're talking about that, that is not the time for you to get out a spreadsheet and be telling them about how, you know, expensive it is and how repairs and how much gas or
$14,000 for an oil change.
An oil change. Like, nope. Just listen to them because you're wanting to hear their heart, and that will come out in these questions.
And I think, you know, when we hear our kids' heart and we hear their vision for the future, that gives us an opportunity to help them shape a life that gets them where they want to go. Now, maybe it's not a Bugatti Veyron, but what they're saying is, I want to actually be able to afford a sports car at some point. And we're able to help them craft, like, what does that look like? They're, you know, not everybody can afford a sports car. How do you get there? What can we do? And it opens up kind of other conversations.
Yeah. And it also gives you an opportunity to share about your experiences. Yeah, when I was a kid, I really wanted a Corvette. Remember that sparkly paint?
It wasn't a Corvette, it was a Trans Am.
Okay, well anyway, whatever, they had sparkly paint.
It was amazing.
And, you know, like maybe that's the story you tell, is like, they had this sparkly paint. You know.
They can tell how old we are because if you saw the sparkly paint Trans Am, you remember it.
That is correct, that is correct.
It was amazing. You know, for me, we like to talk also about like how our first cars and our first dreams and how we got our first car. And, you know, like my first car, and this is a story I've shared with my children. The only thing I wanted was a 1965 Mustang. I wanted one so bad. And my biological father, who had left my mother, had made me a promise. Come work for me all summer long. It was a terrible job. I will buy you a car at the end of the summer. And I was like, that's a great idea. My mother, who knew my father, had said, like, this is a terrible idea. This is not going to work out. But I just thought this was the way I could get this car. So I went and I worked. I worked so hard. It was the hardest work in my life, at least up to that point. And at the end of the summer, like, we had not gone car shopping yet. I kept wondering, when are we going to go car shopping? Like, we should be looking for Mustangs, like, right now. There's, like, 2 weeks left to go in the summer. And my dad just kept telling me, don't worry about it. It's cool. I got it all figured out. And then, literally, like the last day, and I'm now panicked, but I don't know how to challenge my father about this car thing. He says, I've got it. I'm going to give you my girlfriend's Delta 88. Now, if you, again, aging myself again, Delta 88 was a terrible car. It was like a mom car or a grandmother car. It was the exact opposite of a cool 1965 Mustang. And it was for me heartbreaking. Because I worked so hard and I had this vision. But that's kind of my story.
Yeah. And these stories are important for us to hear because we connect to each other through stories. And they'll be able to see you as younger and therefore understand that they too will age. And getting them to see and have perspective on their life is really important.
I'm looking at the list here, Charla. Not a list, sorry. The table talk questions. This is a fun one because it'll help us give insight to our kids. If you were given $1,000, how would you spend that?
Yes. This one's hard for me because as a teacher, I am prone to lectures.
No.
And so if I ask this question, you know, you could almost see my kids probably tense up because depending on what they answer, I might have to just go in, you know, like here's a pie chart and here's what you should do, blah, 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 blah. But I want you guys, don't do that. Just listen, let them dream, hear what they value at this age, and remember you being young once. Like, what would you have said? So there is a time to follow back up with them on something that they might have said or whatever, but not at this time. Hear what they say, hear what they value, take note of something that might need correcting later, and then just roll on and let them dream.
Yeah, and you should, as we talk through these are not just for your children. These questions are items you should be discussing as well, so they understand kind of where your head's at and where what maybe you're anxious about or where you want to go. Another one I think is fun, and this is a great question because it reminds me of a conversation we had once with a neighbor. What do you think the best part of being an adult will be? And I just remember you and our neighbor, Ben. Okay. How old was Ben? Was he like 8 or 9?
I don't know.
It was literally.
Know. I'm not sure.
You were so lovely. I love you so much. And we had built a swing set in the backyard for our son. And Ben didn't have a swing set. So we had told his family, come over and use a swing set whenever he wants to.
Yeah, this was not my finest moment. When I was looking back on that, I actually thought I wasn't a parent when I was having this conversation, because I can't imagine as a parent saying this, but Ben, sweet little guy, he was swinging along and I was out there with him, and he said, he probably wasn't even talking to me. He was probably just talking to the air, you know how kids do. And he was like, oh, it's so great to be a kid. And I was like, what are you even talking about?
So savage.
And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, I don't know. I think it's kind of, being an adult is just, it's just way better. I mean, you get to eat what you want. You get to go to bed when you want. You get to,
drive. So you want to go somewhere, you just drive.
You can go on your
ice
own.
Ice cream
trip,
for dinner. This kid, you can literally see the gears turning in his face as Charles crushing this poor child.
No.
You were crushing this kid's vision of how great a childhood was. And you're like, yeah, if you want to go to Disney World, you can go to Disney World or not. But if I want to go to Disney World, you just get in my car and drive to Disney World right now. And this kid's breaking.
And he's like, oh, I guess I never thought of it that way. And so, again, it's not my finest parenting moment. I couldn't wait to grow up as a child. And so, it to me sounded so weird to hear someone who was actually enjoying their childhood. Now, of course, as I'm looking at it now, our kids, I remember one time Jack is a teenager. This is a whole different podcast. But basically, one time Jack is a teenager, he's like, you mean, like, why would I work hard and get a career? And why am I... I'm never going to have a house as nice as this. I'm never going to get to go on the same trips. I mean, and that was just how he saw his life. Is his childhood was so idyllic that he genuinely didn't think it was going to be attainable for him as an adult. So, again, I heard that, and I made note of it and made sure that we followed up so that he could see, you know, there is a path to him having success as well. So
and what I'm thinking about now is, like, Ben's family still lives next door.
Yeah.
And I see Ben not often, but around the holidays and such, she comes home. I think I'm going to just go talk to Ben and see, like, what kind of scarring you did on that poor child.
No. Look. He's 27 now, and I am sure he has got a very strong opinion on which was better, his childhood or being an adult. So I'm sure there's just no harm, no foul.
Mm-hmm. You saw it for me. I say that. That's my line.
Yeah, and it's not good. It's not good. Anyway, so when you ask these questions, don't be like me. Give them the space to speak their hearts so that you can hear their vision from the future. That vision will set the stage for how they make choices. For example, if they can't answer what the best part of being an adult will be, then that means they don't see themselves as ever getting that old. And so when you try to get them to pick a career or learn about adult things like insurance or taxes or debt, they're just not going to show any interest because, they just don't even see that that is going to be them one day.
Applicable. It's not applicable.
Correct. And so you don't have to get frustrated because when they're not paying attention, like I did when Jack didn't pay attention, until I realized, oh, hold up, I actually need to get him to see himself as an adult, understand that the future is real, and future Jack, like I used to call him all the time, I'd be like, hey, future Jack is real, and he needs this money, when Jack was out.
So, and you would say, when he would make a bad decision, you'd say, you just hate future Jack.
You hate that guy, man.
Super funny.
Yes. So that's it. These are good questions. Definitely encourage you to go on to the blog. You can find my blog on beyondpersonalfinance.com. while you're there, there'll be a pop-up to get you to subscribe, so you can subscribe and get lists delivered to you automatically so you don't have to hunt them out. And
all right,
we're
that's
back next week, and I'm going to, between here and there, I'm going to get Kate McKinley to come into the studio, and we're going to talk about debit cards.
Wow, that sounds super exciting. All right, guys, it's a wrap. Go be great parents.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of It's Not About Money. We hope you found our parenting insights valuable and empowering. If you've enjoyed the episode and want to continue exploring strategies for raising responsible and ready adults, I invite you to subscribe to my weekly blog at beyondpersonalfinance.com/subscribe. And also, if you have a friend or family member that would find our show helpful or entertaining, please share it with them. Thanks again for spending some time with us. We'll see you right back here next week.